tonight. We want to welcome you once again. We've been looking at the effects of COVID-19 in light of Bible prophecy. And we've been sharing a lot of scriptures. Our main texts have been, of course, the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. We looked at Revelation chapter 6 and other scriptures in the Old Testament. But we focused quite a bit on some of these signs that we are experiencing today in our world. And we know that COVID-19 is a pestilence. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, he's responding to a question. His disciples asked him, "What is the sign of your coming? The sign of the age?" And Jesus gave the answer in response to that. And he said that there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be deception, false Christs. These are signs. There'll be pestilences. These are diseases. There'll be earthquakes and famines. And we expanded quite a bit on that. Now, it's amazing because last week we talked quite a bit about the earthquakes as these birth pangs. And in verse number 8, Jesus said these are the beginning of sorrows. In other words, as these birth pangs intensify, then we know that the time of his coming is at hand. And so as we see earthquakes intensifying, famines intensifying, pestilence and disease intensifying, we know these are signs. And scientists and seismologists and all these those who are in the know tell us today that all of these signs have never been like that before. We've seen more earthquakes in the last 50 years than we've seen in the last 600 years. And the list goes on and on with famines and disease. There's always a disease coming. There's always seems to be another earthquake. And if you remember, I forecast, I shared with you, I said, I would not be surprised at all that when I finished preaching, this was last Sunday, that another earthquake will take place within a couple of days, and good or not, that's exactly what happened. We mentioned that earthquakes will increase. And folks, within the last 8 days, these are facts. Now listen carefully. In the last 8 days, I've been studying this for years. I don't ever remember hearing of so many earthquakes in such a short time. I mentioned to you not too long ago, there was an earthquake in Greece, in Quebec. There was an earthquake in Croatia as I came to church one particular Sunday. In Russia, last Sunday, I spoke to you about five tremors, earthquakes that took place, five of them in Texas. That's 10 if you count the five. And then last Sunday, as I was driving home, my wife and I were talking, and she was on her phone, and we found out, she heard that there was an earthquake in North Montreal, of all places, in the Laurentian area. There's mountain range there. I couldn't believe it. Just when I finished preaching on Sunday. And then yesterday, I heard of another earthquake in Boise, Idaho, 6.5 on the Richter scale. Brothers and sisters, that's amazing. We're going to see a lot of these things taking place until finally an apex of earthquakes will come upon the earth. We'll see famines just escalating. These are signs that Jesus speaks of that we need to be aware of. And we asked, is COVID a sign? And indeed it is. It is a pestilence that John speaks of in Revelation 6. When John speaks of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and he speaks of the pale horse, the fourth horse, which is the word pale means chlorine in the Greek, a pale like greenish, almost a mint green color. And this is a picture of death and disease. And we know that COVID is a disease that started through bats and all these other SARS, again, through animals. The Spanish flu through animals, birds, and the list goes on and on. The bubonic plague through rats. And we see this as being a prophetic teaching and element of what's going to happen here on earth before the coming of the age. And so COVID is one of these signs. Earthquakes are one of these signs. And let me say again, I will say it again to you. My friends, beware. You will hear of more earthquakes. Let me go further. You might hear of another one within the next few days. Remember my words. Why? Am I a prophet? No. Am I some kind of a... Do I have insights? Absolutely not. I'm only telling you what the Word of God says. that we will see an increase in these things. And today we want to look at the fifth, sixth trumpet that we left last Sunday. We talked about these trumpets. These trumpets are additional judgments upon the earth, or plagues. Remember, there were seven seals. John sees a vision, and he sees one sitting on the throne who's Jesus, and he's opening up the scroll, and in the scroll there are judgments that are about to be released upon the earth. There were seven of them, and then at the seventh one there are seven additional judgments, which we call trumpets here, that the Bible speaks of. And we are looking at these seven additional judgments that are taking place during the tribulation period. Now remember, these signs will escalate and reach an apex during the tribulation period. And so because we're seeing all these signs rising, we know that the tribulation isn't far. We know that the rapture is about to take place. Now in Revelation 8:13, I just want to read it, because this is what we're going to be focusing in on as we get into chapter 9. The Bible says here, in the midst of heaven, there was an angel saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." What that means is that although John sees all these trials and tribulations and these plagues being released upon the earth, there are still three more major plagues that are about to be released, trumpets. And so, Brother George, if you can just show us the panoramic view here, the calendar we have, or the diagram we have on Bible prophecy. And what we see here is, we've been talking about the Old Testament, the prophets, they prophesied the day of the Lord and Jacob's trouble, which speaks of the tribulation. The church age began. Jesus was born. He ascended to the Father. And when that happened, the church was born. We are in the church age right now, these last 2,000 years. What is the next great event according to Bible prophecy? The next major event is the rapture. We've talked about the Bible and the prophecies of the Bible, how accurate the Bible is. The Bible is the only book that speaks of the prophetic. It's the only book that speaks of the prophetic because it's the only true book of God. And the Bible says there's going to be a rapture, for behold, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together in the air. It speaks of a rapture. When that takes place, that will signal the 7-year tribulation period that we are in right now in chapter 8 and 9. The three woes, these additional plagues, are going to take place. The tribulation period is divided into two sections: the tribulation period and the great tribulation, which is the latter 3.5. These three woes are going to trigger the great tribulation that we are talking about here tonight. Very important that we understand the context in which we are ministering, in which we are sharing with you the Word of God. And what we're going to be looking at tonight is the rise of the Antichrist. And I'll tell you, there's many, many signs, and I'm sure you've heard of this in the past. I'm sure you've heard about the Antichrist. Nobody knows who he is, but we can at least understand the characteristics of who he is. We can know the signs of how he's going to come to this earth and what his purpose will be. And we'll be looking at that today and on Sunday. You don't want to miss Sunday. Sunday is going to be so powerful. I'm just so excited to be able to share the Word of God with you. And so, as we mentioned, the next great event is the rapture. Then after that, the 7-year tribulation. And then we have what we call the second coming of the Lord that will take place after the tribulation period, called the second coming, when Jesus Christ will not come for his saints, but he'll come with his saints. You see, Jesus is coming for his saints, for the church. That's called the rapture. He's coming for us. He told his disciples in John 14, "I'm gone to prepare a place for you. But don't be troubled. Don't worry about it. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to get you, to bring you to this place that I've prepared for you. Do not be troubled. I'm coming back." That's the rapture. And we're going to be raptured, and we're going to spend time with, we will be in eternity with him for these 7 years. And after the 7 years, we're coming back to fight along in the battle of Armageddon. We'll be part of that battle. Now, mind you, there's not much fighting we're going to do. Jesus is going to do it all, but we're part of this army. And so he's coming for his saints in the rapture, but in the second coming, he's coming with his saints. That's the church. And we're looking forward to that great day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saves me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day. Glorious day that will be. The blessed hope that Paul speaks of. In Titus, he speaks of the coming of the Lord and the rapture throughout Scripture. Now, there is a difference between the rapture and the second coming. In the rapture, he's coming suddenly as a thief, Peter tells us. Thessalonian tells us. Thieves don't leave notes when they're about to steal somebody's home. They come when you're not expecting. They come when you're not ready. That's when Jesus is coming back as a thief in the night. The question is, are we ready to receive him? But in the second coming, the Bible says he's coming and every eye will see him. I believe that's Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. Everyone's going to see him. In other words, he's coming back as the Lion of Judah. He's coming back to take back. He's coming back to destroy the enemy physically. He already destroyed them spiritually when he took the keys. Destroyed them on the cross spiritually, where salvation, all of us can experience it. But when he comes back in the second coming, he will destroy him physically. He will have him bound for 1,000 years. And there'll be peace upon the earth, called the millennial period. 1,000 years. Well, we'll get a chance to speak about that a little bit later on. But here we are. We are looking at the Antichrist. Now, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus, the true and living Christ. But the Bible does give us insight on who he is as far as his character, his personality, what he's going to do, what will be his agenda. And tonight, we want to get a bit of a picture on this, and we're going to look at also the demons and these fallen angels that will accompany him during this time of tribulation that we've seen on our diagram. And so I want to give you an outline as we look at verse number 1 of chapter 9. And I'm going to read it for you, which is my text, Revelation chapter 9. I want to read, we'll begin at verse number 1. And the fifth angel, remember there's 5, 6, and 7. There's three more of these woes about to take place. And the fifth angel sounded, that's the trumpet. Remember, the trumpet is another plague. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have, notice, have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Please underscore that. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented, notice, 5 months. Why 5 months? We'll try to address that in a few moments. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like, notice, they were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as faces of men, and their hair as a hair of women. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and their stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, three come. Two woes more hereafter. There's more to come. If that isn't disastrous, there's still more. My friends, let me tell you, this is not a time that you want to experience in your life. This is what the Bible calls the wrath of God. Jacob's trouble. And you might say, how disturbing is that? But you see, my friends, there comes a time where enough is enough. Man has rejected God from the beginning of time. Man has slapped God on the face, metaphorically, of course. Time after time. Man has denied him. Man has continued in his folly and in his error and his self-arrogance and self-absorption from the beginning of time. Denied God. And God continually stretches his hands. God continually opens his heart to everyone. He sent his son to die for you and me. And yet he still has been rejected. He is still mocked and still denied and still defied. But still in his mercy, God is wooing us. And has given us his word to prepare us and to help us understand that there is a day of reckoning. To help us understand that these things are going to happen, but we don't have to experience them. We can be saved. We can experience his grace and his mercy. And so we see an outline here of these incredible events, and I've entitled this message, The Bible's 911. This is a call tonight, my brothers and sisters. This is God's call. He's calling you and he's calling me. Open our hearts. Open our ears. Let us hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. That's what Jesus said to the churches in Revelation. I declare it to you as well, to myself, to all of us. Are we hearing the voice of God? What is God saying to us today? Is COVID-19 a wake-up call? That's something we need to determine. And so I want you to notice in verse number one, there's this unnamed personality. And he's unlocking this pit, this bottomless pit. He's unleashing these demons. We see here the word star falling from the earth. But this star is different. He is human or some form of humanity. Notice it says to him. It is a personal pronoun. It's not the wormwood that we see in Revelation 8:11. That Greek word star is translated into an asteroid. This is not an asteroid. To him, this is an individual. And many believe this is speaking of the Antichrist who will come to torment and deceive. This is Satan himself who will possess an individual and give him supernatural power to do great feats. And many will be mesmerized and be deceived by what he does. At this time, Satan will be given permission to release these demons. This is Satan who's doing this. Make, please, no mistake about it. This is a time that God is giving him permission. Let me tell you, friends, this is not God losing control. God is in control. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's written the word. He's written the last chapter. God is just telling us. He's just sharing with us. God is just speaking to us, giving us insight of what's going to happen. Because God is giving Satan the ability to do this, doesn't mean that God has lost his power. God is the Almighty One. He's the one who's leading. He's the one who's guiding. He's the one who's sitting on the sphere of the earth. He's the Omnipresent One. He's the Omnipotent One. There's nothing he cannot do, but he has given him permission for a reason. There's a purpose behind all this. And so John says, I saw a star having fallen that already has fallen. It's in the past tense because notice this is speaking of an event also that happened in the past. Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12 also fell from heaven. George, if you've got that scripture for me, I want to show you Isaiah speaks of this event as well. Another event where Satan, Lucifer, was called. He was called Lucifer at the time. He was God's greatest angel. He was the king of angels. And the Bible says because of his arrogance and his pride that he wanted to be like the Most High, he was casted down upon the earth. Pride is always the mother of all sins, and it started with Lucifer. Notice how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how thou art cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. He was cast down. And Jesus also sees this event. Why Jesus? Because he is who he said he is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. I am one with the Father. Jesus, the omnipresent one, also saw this. George, if you can bring me to Luke chapter 10, verse 17. The Bible says, and I beheld Satan falling from heaven as lightning. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus saw this. And Satan, when he fell, Lucifer, when he fell from heaven, he brought with him a third of the angels that were his companions. He deceived them as well. Angels, like men, have a free will of choice. Choose you this day, the Bible says, whom you shall serve. Why am I sharing this information with you? Why am I preaching on the end times? Why are we talking about COVID-19 as a sign? Because, friends, these events are going to happen. Bible prophecy is real. The Bible is real. But you have a choice to receive God's word or to reject it. Nobody can force you. Nobody can force me. And so I could have titled this message God's warning, but truly it is his wooing. Although this is a warning, but really it's a wooing. Wooing to come to the cross, to come to the truth. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the day, the acceptable time. And so Jesus sees Lucifer falling. And so we see this unknown personality is the devil, Satan himself. Then notice this unlocking of the pit in verse number 2. Satan is given permission to take the lid off this bottomless pit and release all these creatures that were incarcerated. Now they're being set free. Notice the word pit here in verse 2. It's the Greek word abyssos, or the English word now that's translated to the abyss. The abyss, place of darkness, a place of hell. Chains, they are chained. These angels are bound by these chains after they fell. They were ended up in this place. Today, as bad as it seems, friend, not every demon is free. Some of them are roaming around this atmosphere, this world. We're in this battle. Some are in prison. Some are free. But let me explain what I mean by prison. Jesus, in Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 31, he confronts the demoniac in the Gadarenes in Israel. I visited that place. It is the only rocky area in that region. Again, the Bible, how accurate it is. It is very level. The Sea of Galilee, that region is completely level, that area. But there we see almost like a cliff, a mountainous ridge, and there were the Gadarenes that the Bible speaks of. Exactly. And there Jesus had a confrontation with a demoniac. And here is a picture of these cliffs. You don't see, now you see in the background, but that's not in the area. You don't see any of this. And there Jesus had an experience with a demoniac, and that the swine, they ran off the cliffs into the water. Listen to what the Bible says. And they besought him, verse 31, that he would not command them to go to the deep. And they're speaking of Jesus. So Jesus now is going to cast these demons out of this demoniac. And there was a herd of swine. This is the only region in Gadarenes where there are herds of swines. It was a Gentile area. Exactly what the Bible says. And as Jesus was going to cast out these demons from this man, they all cried out, look, don't send us to the abyss. We don't want to go back there. We don't want any part of it. We want to still roam around. And there were some pigs there. And they begged Jesus, can you just suffer you? Send us into these pigs. And there were a herd of many swine feeding in the mountains. And they besought him that they would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. The Bible says they ran into the water and they drowned. Can you imagine that? You see, my friends, Send us, they said, anywhere, but not to the abyss. They don't want to be there. You see, in captivity, my friends, when they can't roam. In captivity, there's no freedom. That's what they want to do. They want to, the purpose of the demons of that are roaming this earth, they want to possess things. They want to possess. We're in a battle. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. This is exactly what we're dealing with. These are angels, demonic beings that roam the earth. We're in a battle against these that are not in the abyss. But now Satan releases them during the tribulation period. All hell is about to break loose on earth, in other words. That's the picture that we see here. In fact, in Jude 1:6, it speaks of this bottomless pit as well. You can check it for yourselves. And the angels, the Bible says, who left their first state, these angels, God hath reserved them for everlasting chains unto judgment. So we see the Bible confirming the Bible. The Bible always confirms the Bible. That's how you know. You don't just take one scripture and preach a message on it and preach a doctrine on it. I do my best to try to bring other scriptures to that they agree together in what's being said. There's this pit here, the abyss. And Satan has the power now to release these demons out of this pit. Before we continue, I need to pause for a second because I need to ask, did you know that these angels had a special visit by our Lord and Savior? When Jesus died on the cross on Friday, many scholars believe that on Saturday something happened. George, if you can show me 1 Peter 3:18 and 19, please. We're talking about these demons that are in the abyss that are going to be released. Notice Jesus paid a visit to them. For Jesus also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, those that were incarcerated. Now, he didn't go there to preach the gospel to get saved. These demons can't get saved. That's only human. He came for us. He came for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you and me. He didn't go to speak to these angels and share the gospel with them. That wasn't his mission. I believe he went there and said, "Ha! You thought you won, didn't you? When I was on the cross and you were laughing and mocking, and all of hell was rejoicing, you thought you defeated me, didn't you? But you were wrong. I rose from the dead, and I took the sting out of the death. I took the victory out of the grave, and I've got the keys, oh devil. I've got the keys of life. You thought you won, but you lost. Here are the keys. I rose from the dead." Friends, that's what Jesus came to do. And so he went to declare his authority and his majesty to these demons that were incarcerated. And so we have this unknown personality or unnamed personality. We see the unlocking of this pit in verse number 2, that Satan is given permission to unlock these demons. And Jesus preaches this message of victory. I'm an overcomer. And because Jesus overcame, so can you, my friend. You can overcome. Now, I got to pause again for a moment because I believe God is holding back the power of demons and evil today, because if he wasn't holding back the power of evil, I believe all hell would break loose even now upon the earth. As bad as it might seem today, it would be a lot worse if this one thing wasn't happening. So, George, can you please take me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? I want us to look at the first few verses. We'll see verse number 8 in particular. I want to show you this. That you be not soon shaken in mind, nor by word or by letter, for us that in the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there shall be a falling away. Many people are falling away today. Many people are starting well, but they're departing from the faith. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in 1 Timothy 4:1. People are being deceived. Except there be a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Before the son of perdition, before the Antichrist is seen, comes on the scene, there's going to be a falling away of believers. Men's hearts are going to get colder and colder. My friends, I don't know if you've noticed, but things aren't the way they used to be. They really aren't. I don't see the fire like I used to. I don't see the passion like I used to. All I see are empty prayer closets. And a lot of cases, I see a lot of empty pews. We need a revival, brothers and sisters. We need God to do something powerful in our day. But before the Antichrist rises, we're going to see this coldness within the body of Christ. Now watch this now. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitting on the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you of these things? And now you know what withholds, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work, only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. So what's happening here is something's holding him back before he can get on the scene. The Holy Spirit is holding him back. But once the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit rises with us. He'll have free access to do whatever he wants. He will reign supreme upon the earth. Something is holding him back. But once that restrainer lets him go, all hell will break loose. And look what's going to happen. Verse number 9. Watch this now. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders. Satan will be empowered to do all kinds of miracles, all kinds of signs and wonders. He will not just be a mere human being. He'll be empowered by the enemy, by Satan himself. He'll do signs and wonders, and people are going to be mesmerized with his power. And what people are thinking, that this is like a Messiah figure. A false Messiah figure. And notice, people, they're going to be deceived. Look what it says in verse 11:10. And with all deception of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they've received not the love of Christ, that they might be saved. And because they rejected God here before the rapture. Right now, today, people are rejecting God. And if the rapture comes tomorrow, this is what's going to happen to you. Watch this now. And for this cause, what cause? Because you didn't receive Christ. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. People will be deceived. The Bible says even the elect would be deceived if it wasn't for the grace of God. That's how much deception the enemy has, that they should believe a lie. God is holding back the enemy until the right time. You see, it's all about God's timing, friends. Everything's about such a time as this. What time are we in? Do you know what time it is, my friend? Do you know that COVID-19 is a sign that time is running short? Time is getting shorter and shorter. We can't waste any more time. Paul tells us we must redeem the time that he's coming again as a thief in the night. Are you ready to receive him, friends? And so on that day, God will allow the devil to unlock these demons from hell, from the abyss. So we see the unnamed personality, that's Satan. He's unlocking these demons from the pit. His name is Apollyon. And he's unleashing now, number 3, power. He's unleashing this power. Notice the result of Satan unlocking the pit is an unleashing of all these ungodly soot, this ungodly, these clouds of destruction and despair. You see, when Jesus speaks of hell, it's a place that burns with fire. He spoke a lot about hell. In fact, he spoke more about hell than heaven. Did you know that? He called the place Gehenna, which was perpetual burning. In the place, in Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem, where they would burn their trash, their garbage. It was continually burning. That's a picture of hell. It continually burns and burns. And so this pit ascends. This is a dark smoke of hell. Notice verse 3. It looks like locusts, like a locust swarm. Look at this. So vast is this cloud. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, and the scorpions of the earth have power. There's an unleashing of this power, and this smoke and this soot is rising, and it looks like there's a locust. Now, locust was familiar to John. This is not John the Baptist, but familiar of the people of Israel of that day. And so we have a description of locust. They appear like a cloud of smoke. People are choking as a result of this. It's so large, it's so vast, it becomes dark outside. And that's where the Bible says that the sun gets dark. Here's another explanation of why the sun is darkened. Perhaps, according to many, believe that there's such a vastness of this smoke that it's darkening the sun, that we're not getting light upon the earth. But it looks like a locust. Now, there's certain views about what we're going to be talking about. There's three views to this text. One, that it's just it's symbolic. And I refute that view. There's nothing symbolic about this. This is literal. These things are going to happen. As I said on Sunday, were the 10 plagues in Egypt symbolic? No. Then why should these? The other view is that these are real demonic creatures. And the other view is that we see a picture here of nuclear warfare, modern day warfare, that I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit later on, a little video clip that will explain that. But here we are, and there's this locust, and I want to show you this particular video here about locusts and about the cloud and what's going on in parts of Kenya and parts of East Africa. It's absolutely amazing. I believe this is very similar to what we're going to see. We won't be there, but what will take place during the time of the tribulation. Do we have that clip? Now watch this. Wow, you see, this is what the Bible speaks of. These are locusts. They are devastating. It's absolutely devastating. And it goes for miles and miles in some cases. The Bible says these locusts are so vast it will darken the sunlight. We're going to see this escalating, brothers and sisters. This is actually a mild case of what's going to happen. Remember, these locusts and these pestilences and famines are going to increase. Look at this. This just happened a few years ago. And I shared a few Sundays ago of a recent picture of what happened in Kenya. I believe this is a description of what's going to take place here. And we know that in the Old Testament, the locust was also a plague. These are plagues. These are pestilences that God is going to release upon the earth. So when this unlocking of this pit takes place, we see in verse number 3 that they look like locusts. In verse number 11, notice they have a king. They have a king. They have a leader. So, can this be symbolic? Of course not. Could this be nuclear warfare? Perhaps. But it has a king. There's a person involved here. And this king is the angel of the pit. The destroyer, the Bible calls him. The devil, Satan himself, he's their king. He's the king of darkness, the king of destruction. Jesus said he's the father of lies. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's our enemy. And the Antichrist will be possessed with Satan himself. Listen, not just with demons. The Antichrist will be possessed with Satan. Now, it's hard to imagine what that means. But the point is, my friends, this is a picture of all this demonic activity that's going to take place on the earth. And it's very strategic. They have a king. It's organized. It's organized. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 that we fight not against against flesh and blood, but against these imps, these spiritual imps and principalities And the Bible calls them against their schemes and the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. That speaks of schemes. Notice, so we got to put on the armor of God against the schemes, the wiles. There's going to be strategy. Satan will lead these demons into this battle. This is not a science fiction movie. Did you ever think that COVID-19 would come to us and that people would live the way they live today? Did you ever think that you would have to walk on the street and take several steps away someone in case you get too close to them, that we deem now social distancing? Is this a new word today? Would you ever imagine? Well, friends, when we read Revelation, and some of us might be saying, can this be? Well, my friends, it can be, just like COVID-19. Just like COVID-19 is today. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a myth. It's not a story. It's a reality. These things are going to happen. These creatures, they represent animals, it seems. And we know that this could be very similar to what John saw in Revelation chapter 4, where he sees a vision of heaven and he sees these creatures. And they, one looked like a face of a man, the other like a lion, an eagle. So these angels had faces of animals. Ezekiel chapter 1 also sees a picture of heaven, and he sees animals as well in Ezekiel's wheel. So in heaven, John sees angels with having certain animal faces. And so we see here these demons, they also have that. Now these are demons, but the point I'm trying to make is that this can very well be a demonic being that is taking place here, that looks like a lion, that looks like a scorpion, that looks like lion's teeth, that we're going to be. This very well could be a demon that looks like this. And the reason why I have a tendency of believing that, it's because, friends, I've encountered some of these things in my past. When I've preached a few years, and I remember when I was in India, I experienced something that I will never forget in my entire life. I was preaching one day, and I was in a church full of people. And as I was preaching, all of a sudden, a woman that was in front of me, she was right in front of me, she fell off her seat, and she began to contort. Her body was moving in a way I couldn't believe it. She started moving just like a snake. It was incredible how her body was contorted. I can't believe how a body can move like that. And I realized that there was a demon that possessed her. Something was going on here. And I called the board members and I just laid hands on her. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast out by the power of God this snake demon that she worships. She worships, you know, in India they worship all kinds of different gods, and a lot of them are animals, rats and elephants and monkeys and cows. They worship this snake god, and this snake god possessed her. For these things are real. I've seen this with my eyes, and I've got other experiences I don't have time to get into tonight. But I believe these are demonic beings that look like that. And what I want to do is, I want to give a description of what these creatures look like. Now remember, this is a description of what these creatures look like, these demons. Notice verse 7. There's they look like imperial creatures, I call it. Look what happens here. And the shapes of these locusts were unto horses. See, they look like horses. Prepared unto battle. Their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were like faces of men. Well, John also saw angels, and Ezekiel with faces of men. But we notice these are imperial creatures, I call them there. Horses prepared for battle. Horse is a picture of strength and power. Deuteronomy 17 speaks of that. But notice number 2, they are also invincible. Verse number 9. They are invincible. They are imperial. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running into battle. Invincible. Crowns of gold. And the word gold here, crowns, is the word Stephanos. It's a victor's crown. They got this victor's crown, but it's a false crown. They're invincible. The breastplate like iron. And that's why some people believe this is a picture of nuclear warfare. We're going to notice the locusts looking like helicopters, perhaps. This gold crown could be maybe a helmet that a pilot would wear in the cockpit of a helicopter. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But these are invincible. They are imperial. But they're also very intelligent. They have strategies. Verse number 7, the faces of men. They're also intriguing creatures. Verse number 8, with hair of a woman. In that day, there was nothing more seductive than the hair of a woman. Very seductive. And today, of course, as well. It's an expression of seductiveness. This is to remind us, though they are repulsive, yet they are very inviting and intriguing and enticing. It's a seductive spirit that we are living in today. George, if you can show me 1 Timothy 4:1. And I believe many people are being seduced into the vortex of this deception day by day. Even in the church, we're seeing it, friends. We're living in dark days. We need to open our eyes and see that something's about to take place. Notice, now the Spirit speaks expressively. Notice the Spirit is capitalized. It's the Holy Spirit. And notice the word expressively. In other words, it's passionate. The Holy Spirit is very emphatic. The Holy Spirit is deliberate. He wants to make a point. And what is it? That in the latter times, that's the days in which we live in, some shall depart from the faith. That's right. Some of us that might go to church every Sunday, we're lifting up our hands and hallelujah and praise the Lord. Some of you, you're not going to make it. You're just great and you look good on the outside. But on the inside, it's not real. Why? Because you've been giving heed to seducing spirits. The lust of the flesh and the lust and the passions of the world have seduced you. The devil has seduced you like he tried to seduce Jesus. Just bow down before me, Jesus, and I'll give you the treasures of the world. But Jesus wasn't seduced, but some of us will be. Seduced and been influenced by the doctrine of devils. I believe there's a lot of doctrine of devils today. Oh, they sound good. Oh, they sound so good. They might even use the Bible every so often. But let me remind you, even a dead clock is right twice a day. And some of these doctrines, they might sound good, but they're doctrine of devils. They're twisted. And we're going to see an epidemic of that in the last days. We're seeing it today. Seduction, seduction. They're also inhuman creatures. Notice their teeth like lion, verse number 8. These are demonic beings. They're also impressive creatures. Verse 9, sound of many horses running, verse number 9. And this is where some scholars believe this is modern day warfare. That the John, remember, John was writing in his day. He never seen a helicopter. He didn't know what modern warfare was. Of course, he's seen spears and he's seen swords, but he's never seen a gun. He's never seen a helicopter. He's only explaining and describing what's within the scope of his understanding and revelation. These wings could be helicopters. Now, I'm going to show you just a picture. I don't want to see the video, but we have a picture of a scorpion in a helicopter. I just want to show you what the Bible speaks of a scorpion. But look at these. This is a helicopter. That looks like a locust, doesn't it? See? Look at that. Look at this. That's a locust. You don't think that looks like a... See, that John is seeing this. Perhaps you don't think John thinks that could be a locust? See that? That looks exactly like a locust. Imagine if John sees this. He's writing it down. He's got a vision. He thinks it's locust. He would never think. How could he think this is what we know as a helicopter? It was beyond his scope of understanding. John sees this. A sound of many horses could be this helicopter. We don't know. But what an incredible description that is. But now I want to enter into the damage that's going to take place because of this abyss opening up. In verse 9 and 10, I want you to notice, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, sound of horses running into battle. Verse number 10, watch this now. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. What's going on here? This is incredible. It's unconscionable what's going on here. But this is real. We see damage and what we see that this is going to be something that's going to be afflicted upon men. It's going to be something very painful. These demons have tails, verse 10, like scorpions. Do we have a picture of a scorpion, George? I want to show you a scorpion. Now, I've studied, as many of you know, animals, and I've watched myriads and myriads of documentaries, and I've actually watched many documentaries on the scorpion. And, you know, this is what John is seeing, a scorpion tail here. But that could also look like the tail of a helicopter, some believe. But notice, this is the stinger that inflicts the poison. And the Bible says they're going to be inflicted by the tails of the scorpion. The tails of the scorpion. The stingers have this poison. And when it penetrates the skin, it paralyzes you. Now, not all scorpions are lethal. Bites are lethal. In fact, a lot of the scorpion bites, they just inflict a lot of pain. There's a lot of suffering. Not all of it is fatal. But there's a lot of excruciating pain. It affects the nervous system. It actually eats the flesh. It is extremely painful. And it's going to go on for 5 months, verse 10 tells us. But it will not kill them. Did you notice that? 5 months, but it will not kill them, the Bible says. Why 5 months? Well, naturalists tell us that the lifespan of a scorpion is 5 months. They usually are born in the month of May and they die in the month of September. That's what naturalists say. Very possible that that could be the case. But other theologians believe this is a picture of nuclear warfare or chemical warfare. You see, there's some chemical gases that when you are exposed to that, they don't necessarily kill you. What they do, these gases, some of them, is that they prolong a death. It's a miserable prolonging. It's to afflict pain on a permanent or a perpetual basis. It's saying, I hate you so much, I don't want to kill you right now. I want you to suffer for a while. So I'm going to afflict this chemical gas on you. That's what we're talking about. That's what's possibly going on here. This chemical warfare. John sees a picture of the tribulation. Remember that. Some scholars believe it is literally physical demons. Some believe there are demons. Of course, they believe that because it says it. But it's actually a picture of warfare, modern day warfare that's taking place. And what I want to do is I want to show you a video on what some believe. And you know, and this is very powerful. Now listen to this. Just stay with us. I'm going to show you in a minute. All right. We're going to give you or show you a clip.
Revelation 9:1. When the fifth angel blew his trumpet, I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky. The star was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. It opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and smoke came out of the shaft, like the smoke from a large furnace. The smoke darkened the sun and the air. Locusts came out of the smoke onto the earth, and they were given power like the power of earthly scorpions. They were told not to harm any grass, green plant, or tree on the earth. They could harm only the people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not allowed to kill them. They were only allowed to torture them for 5 months. Their torture was like the pain of a scorpion sting. At that time, people will look for death and never find it. They will long to die, but death will escape them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. They seemed to have crowns that looked like gold on their heads. Their faces were like human faces. They had hair like women's hair and teeth like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like iron. The noise from their wings was like the roar of chariots with many horses rushing into battle. They had tails and stingers like scorpions. They had the power to hurt people with their tails for 5 months. This judgment may describe the dropping of a nuclear bomb, for John describes something falling from the sky, which looked like a star. This could in fact describe a bomb, which causes smoke to rise from the earth. If this is what John was describing, then the next world war will start with the dropping of this nuclear bomb. And out of the smoke, John describes a strange creature which looked to him like a mixture of man, locust and scorpion. I believe John may in fact have been describing military attack helicopters, which will come from the nation who has been attacked. John describes these creatures afflicting mankind from their tails. The poison which these strange creatures affect mankind with is described like a neurotoxin, creating extreme agony and a form of paralysis. The stinging of mankind could relate to chemical weapons and could be an amazing description of modern attack helicopters spraying chemical weapons from their tails. The Apostle John described the vision God gave him as accurately as he could, using the most familiar terms of the time he lived in. We know that what John describes as locusts are not literal locusts, because literal locusts destroy green growing things. But John's locusts only hurt men, and do not hurt the green growing things. In Revelation 9 verse 3, they are shaped like locusts, which is a good description of the shape of modern attack helicopters. They looked like horses prepared for battle. Decked out with all kinds of battle equipment, they had armor plating and wings that sounded like many chariots pulled by horses running to battle. An excellent description of a modern helicopter's rotor blades. John says they had breastplates. Modern helicopters use boron armor plating, which is stronger than steel and lighter than aluminum. They had upturned tails like scorpions, and their stings came out of their tails. A helicopter's tail is upturned, and the chemical spray bar sticks out the rear. In the front where a locust's face would be, they had men's faces. And indeed, looking through a cockpit window, you can see the pilot's face. John said the men wore crowns of gold. This could easily be their helmets and visors. John described them as having long hair. The reference to long hair is in fact the wires which come out of the helmets. Also, they had teeth like lions. Many attack helicopters have teeth painted around the lower front of the fuselage. The weapons John saw in Revelation chapter 9 do not hurt the environment. Modern chemical weapons have been developed to do exactly that, hurt the soldiers but not the environment. The soldiers are incapacitated, but not killed. For chemical weapons attack the nervous system, exactly like a scorpion sting. The people John saw were incapacitated and wanted to die to escape the pain, but were physically unable to kill themselves. An incredible 2,000-year-old description of modern helicopter gunships and chemical weapons.
Wow. That's tremendous. It's intriguing to me because these locusts, remember, they're not eating the grass, so they're not real locusts. They're out to afflict men. That's what the Bible says. So he sees this in a vision. So we know it's beyond the locusts that we see today. It's something, these are creatures, these are indescribable. It's hard to even imagine what kind of pain they're going to inflict on humanity. But friends, it's going to happen just like the 10 plagues happened in Israel. These things will take place. So we know that it's painful, but it's also personal. People are being stung. But notice, I got some good news here. And the good news, it's only the people, the Bible says, who do not have this marking on their heads. Verse 4, look what it says. It says, only for those who do not have a marking. And we see this also in Revelation chapter 7, when God speaks to the 144 and he marks them to protect them against the onslaught of the enemy during the tribulation period. There's a mark of protection. The Bible says that only those will be afflicted who do not have this mark. Revelation 7, 1 to 4. Ezekiel 9 and 4 says, the very same thing. There were people who had a mark to cry out to the Lord who were weeping for Jerusalem. They were signaled out. They were protected by God. And I believe COVID-19, as disastrous as it is, folks, I'm going to step up and tell you, I believe God can still protect you despite what the world says, despite what mass hysteria tells me, despite what fear tells me. We serve a God who's able to protect, able to heal. There's no weapon that's formed against you. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. I'm going to take a stand and say this, that God can protect you. He can protect his children, because do you know that you have a mark as well? If you're a true believer, you are marked. You might say, well, what do you mean? Am I marked like these people here? I don't know exactly. But I'll tell you what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible tells me that I have a mark. Look what it says. It says here, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You have a sealing. You have a marking. You are protected. There's a sealing of protection. You are marked. And the Bible also speaks that in Timothy as well. And so we are marked. God has his hand upon you. God's protection is upon you. As he protected Israel, he'll protect you. As we continue to walk with him and we continue to serve him and to thirst and to hunger after him, my friends, God's going to reveal great and mighty things, and he will use you in a powerful way in the days in which we live in today. The Lord knows who his children are, the Bible says. He knows your name, the song says. He knows your thoughts. He sees your tears at night when no one's around you. He knows what you're going through, and he hears you when you call upon him. God isn't a far God, a distant God. God is a very present help in the time of trouble. He knows who you are, and he knows his children, and he has put a mark on you to protect you. And so the only ones who will be tormented are those who don't have this marking. It is painful. It is personal, but it is perpetual. Notice verse 6. They will seek after death, but they won't find it. Wow. What a description. All of God's people are gone. George, can you give me my diagram again? All God's people, they've been raptured. You see, and these demons and these locusts and these creatures are being released upon the earth to inflict pain. And these people are saying, I want to die, but they can't. You see, the church is gone. You think God's going to allow us to go through this kind of torment? Do you think that's the kind of God we serve? I don't understand some of you out there who believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation. You believe that God has appointed us to wrath when the Bible says that God has not appointed us to wrath? Do you think he's going to let this flood come to his children? Did he not protect Noah from the flood? Did he not protect Rahab from the destruction of Jericho? Did he not protect Israel from the 10 plagues? Do you think he'll let his church go through these 7 years of hell? Can't. It's not the way God operates that I see in Scripture. This is a perpetual pain. 5 months, you're going to want to die, but you won't be able to die. Can you imagine how tragic that is? You'll just keep living. It's a picture of sin, I think. See, sin just keeps going on. Sin is perpetual. It just keeps going on. It's contagious. I think COVID-19, sin is what's the most contagious disease that there is. Only the blood of Jesus can deliver you from this disease, my friend, called sin. Well, this will be a pain for 5 months. It'll be literally hell on earth. That's why we've entitled this message, the Bible's 911. But notice verse number 11. Notice who he is. It's Satan, the destroyer, who's the author, who's the originator of this. Every person who has turned down the gospel and those who have heard the 144,000 Jewish evangelists will be subject to this torment. Those who've rejected God, those who've rejected his Christ, those who've have rejected the truth of God in this time before the cross and after the cross and during the tribulation will be subject to this kind of torment. It is not a pleasant place. But notice in verse number 12, this is not the end. Notice verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, there are two woes more hereafter. There's still more to come. It's hard to imagine, friends, that this is what's going to happen on earth. But you don't have to be here. I don't have to be here. In fact, I don't plan on it. I've made my reservation. I trust you've made your reservation. It's only through Christ. See, when the church is raptured, that's when the tribulation begins. And the great tribulation. We're talking about the great tribulation right now here in chapter 9. All those who've rejected the gospel, who have not been raptured, are going to be deceived. George, can you bring me back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8? I want to make sure you understand this. This has been, a lot of people have been asking questions about this very thing. And I've been preaching this for years. And this is one of the most significant questions I believe that many have asked me is right here. And then the Lord, that the wicked won't be revealed, the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his coming. Verse 9, I want to see you to see this again. And Satan will be filled with power to deceive. Verse 10, now here's where it gets, here's my point. And with all deception of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of truth. They may not be saved. Therefore, as a result of that, God gave them over to believe a lie, to believe a delusion. You see, those in the tribulation, Brother George, bring me back to my diagram. A lot of them came from this dispensation we're in. A lot of these people, they didn't receive Christ. They didn't go up in the rapture. They just went in right into the tribulation period. They're not going to make it. Oh, Pastor Dino, I know the truth. I'm just going to wait. I know all about it. When the time comes, I'm just going to give my life to Christ. No, you're not. You're going to be deceived. If the elect can be deceived, you don't think you can? This Antichrist, this devil will be so persuasive, so convincing, that even the elect could be fooled if it wasn't for the grace of God. Do you know there are 600 warnings in the Bible? 600. Why? Because God is a loving God. When God sends judgment, he always gives a warning. When Noah preached for 120 years as he was building the ark, he was preaching, telling people to repent, come to God. 120 years, they laughed at him. They mocked him. Like today, people laughing. They're mocking. Where is your Christ? Where is the sign of his coming? What are you, Christian? They're making fun. They're mocking. They're ridiculing. Their hearts are getting colder and colder. Just like it was in the days of Noah, they were mocking him. But they stopped ridiculing him. They stopped mocking him when it started to rain. But it was too late. Starting to rain, friend. You can come into the ark of his salvation. There's always room. The road signs are there. When you're driving a car and you see cul-de-sac or you say detour, you follow those signs. You'd be foolish not to. Well, the signs are here. You'd be foolish not to heed to them. COVID-19 is a sign. It's just one sign. Pestilence that is upon us. And I want you to know, my friends, that God is warning today through this. I have no doubt in his love and his mercy. He's warning us to woo us. Those are two W's for you. He warns to woo you, to bring you to him so that we can be open. Did not Paul say this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? I believe it's the 11th verse. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What Paul is saying, look, there's a judgment coming. We want you to know the truth about Christ. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest to your consciousness. Listen carefully. It's going to happen. We need you to see the truth, to see the light. God's love is before before you. He's wooing you to come to the cross. He's wooing you. He always warns because he cares. He told the church, take heed. He tells us to take heed, warning us. Open our hearts, open our eyes. The time is coming. The time is approaching. He keeps, and in Revelation 2, he gave a space to the church of Thyatira to repent, but they didn't repent. He warned the church, but they didn't repent. He's warning you today. He's warning me today. Open your hearts, open your minds. He's coming very soon, my friends. The rapture is about to take place. The coming of the Lord's at hand. And when you see these signs drawing nigh, the Bible says, lift up your heads, for he's drawing nigh. Lift up your heads, for he's coming. Lift up your heads, for that time is coming. And I believe the time is here. Jude 23 tells us that with compassion we snatched them out of the fires. That's what I'm doing here today. With compassion, trying to share this word to help us, to help me, to help you to understand that there's more to this world. That there's a God who loves you. And there's a destiny for all of us. For it is appointed unto man once to die and then cometh the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating them, even the garments spotted of the flesh. Pulling them out of the fire. That's my desire. That's the purpose of the church, I believe, is to share the gospel to this dying world. This world that's full of disease and sin, despair, that there's hope, that there's a living hope we have in Christ. That's why he came to this earth. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility, my Christian friend, to share the gospel with others. What is COVID-19? The Bible tells us that when God sends a pestilence, if we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, 2 Chronicles 7:13, he will heal us. He will turn and restore the years that the locusts have eaten. That's what the Bible says. But we must turn to him. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're at. Many of you have been viewing from different parts of the world. I'm honored, grateful that you've tuned in tonight. But I can't let you go without at least asking you to look deep within your heart. Where do you stand before God? These are signs, friends, and they will continue. God's trying to get your attention. Let him come into your heart. Let him touch your life. Let him be the king of your life. Get yourself off that throne. You haven't been doing very well. Man, you're not doing very well. Oh, sovereign man. Oh, sovereign man. You're not doing well. Everything is crumbling. Let God come into your heart. Let him touch you. Let him bring peace into your life. Let him put joy into your life. Stop running. Stop looking for the answers out there. There's no answer out there. It comes only deep within you through Christ as you invite him into your heart. Let him bring peace. The peace that only he can bring. That's what you need. You need his peace. Let him come into your life. Pray. Pray along with me. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your son who died for me. I thank you for Jesus who died on the cross so that I might live and my sins be forgiven. I pray, O Lord, that you will touch every person that's listening to me today. That everyone out there would receive your love, receive your grace. And if there's someone there who's willing, just repeat after me, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Come on, say it along with me. But believe it. Invite him in. Maybe you're all by yourself listening to this. Nobody around you. That's good. Come into my heart, Lord. Help me. I need you. Be my strength. honestly can say that we do love you. My name is Dino Andriades, lead pastor here at Logos Christian Family Church. If you want to contact me, you can on our website. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. We love you. Please tune in on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We'll continue something really powerful, powerful to share with you. Share it with your friends. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.